And Sunday we're studying the Gospel of John. So just picking up where we were on Sunday, and remember now in chapter 12, at this point we're hours away from the crucifixion, just hours. And in the process, they are not believing. He had made it very clear to the Gentile people that were there at the Passover, to the Jewish people. He made it very clear in his, if you want to have and know God and honor God and know all the wonderment of knowing him, then you need to know me. You need to follow me. I'm going to go to the cross. And we share together, starting in chapter 12 and verse 23, sliding all the way down to verse 34. God made it very clear. I'll look at verse 33. He said, I'm giving you the whole explanation now. I'm trying to help you. If you don't follow me to the cross, you cannot understand ever and know me rightly. This, verse 33, this he said, signifying what death he should die. And since they said, now how can the Son, and the people knew to be lifted up in verse 34, if you be lifted up, you mean you're going to be crucified like the Romans do. And if you're going to be crucified, then how can you be the Son of God? How can you be the Son of God? Who is the Son of God? The end of verse 13. Who is this man, Son of Man, Son of God? Now, and thus he made it. They understood, and we shared together some detail. That they did not believe, they could not conceive of God being a man, becoming a man. They couldn't conceive of that in their imagination, and they would not. And since they couldn't do that, and they refused to honor all of the signs and wonders, miracle upon miracle, sign upon sign, power feedings, healings, all kinds. So when we came to verse 37, though he had done so many miracles, signs, before them, yet they believed not on him. So you have a whole group of people at the Passover in the temple area, Gentiles and Jews, and they are not believing. They're not believing at all. And it is unacceptable for them that he is who he is, and they would not receive that message. As we shared Sunday, I am that I am, Exodus 3, verse 14. I am who I am. And we went through that marvel, I hope, in a way that you could not miss it. He is who he is, and humans are expected to understand who he is and honor him for who he is, because of who he is. Now, in the light of that and sharing, so they are not believing, and remember we shared together this verse 44 and all that. This is the last section he gives to the multitude. He's not going to say anything else to the multitude. He's going to go to the upper room and the trials and all of the garden and the trials, garden and trials, but nothing to the multitude as a group. Now, so this is it, and he makes it very clear. He's standing in front of them. They need to honor him, and they were not. They need to recognize him, and they failed to do so. Now, what did they fail? What should they have known? Now, in the light of verse 33, I'm going to go to the cross. And you have to understand, if you're going to know God, you're going to have to find me on the cross. Now, they knew in Genesis 3:15, they knew the sign that God would save them would be the seed of the woman and the Virgin Mary born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, and in the light of that, that was a clear, straight promise. Adam and Eve, without turning there, Adam and Eve, chapter 3, verse 9, 10, Adam and Eve were extremely set. They knew when they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, They had disobeyed God, and the wonderful covering of light that they had vanished. And they both knew they were naked, and they were ashamed. So much so that they went, when it was time to walk with God in the garden in the afternoon walk, they went and cut fig leaves out to cover them, because they knew they were naked. So when God gave this promise of Genesis 3:15, they were ready for that. In other words, they knew they had a need. They knew that. So therefore, and God is going to provide the need. And they received that promise, the seed of the woman, a Savior. And chapter 3, verse 20, 21, they believe it. And they receive coats of skin from the animal that God slain, killed. God killed the animal. God skinned the animal, and God gave them personally the skins of the animal. And they put the skins on them to cover their nakedness. Fig leaves won't do it. Works won't do it. All the wonderment of trying to do better and not be so bad and all of that will never work. You needed a covering. The sacrifice of the animals, they shed their blood, as you'll see in a minute. They gave their blood. They died so that the covering, their covering, could be given to someone else who needed it. They had to die in order for their covering to be able to put on somebody else. They shed their blood, as it were, so that they could be covered. So that Adam and Eve could be covered. Now, having said that little bit, in order to make that even more pronounced and understand, so if I'm a Jew, and I was then, I'm going to have to know that. I know that a little bit. I go to the synagogue every week, etc. And so here I am, and I come to Leviticus. Leviticus, there are all the sacrifices listed, etc., or daily sacrifices. And once a year, they had a very special day called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. They had a Day of Atonement. Now, that's what they had, once a year. Now, everyone, if you're a Jew and you've been living all these times with them, you know whenever they did have a Day of Atonement and honored it, they understood the sober, awesome reality that they were in need of a wonderful Savior and God had to provide it. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And in Leviticus chapter 16, now this is about the Day of Atonement. Now in the process of that, remember now they're going to go, and the word atonement, Kippur, the word atonement has to the verb, a verb. It means to overlay, to conceal something by covering it, to hide it by covering. And thus atonement, to wipe off, as it were, to cleanse, to cover over so you can't find what's covered. Now, when they took the coats of skin, Adam and Eve, they took the coats of skin, and the coats of skin covered their nakedness, covered their sinfulness, covered their disobedience. It gave them covering. God provided a covering that would able to go to so cover them that you couldn't find the error where they did wrong in word, in deed, in thought. You couldn't find it. It was covered. Covered. Now, Leviticus, as you know, being in mind to cover, it has to do with covering uncleanness, the uncleanness, the sin, the transgressions. And the blood, two things about the blood, over to chapter 17 for a moment, right next door. Chapter 17 and in verse 11. Remember now, you'll get it very quickly. For the life of the flesh, 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls. So A, blood, the life of the body is in the blood. Genesis 9, don't eat the blood. The blood of the animals is the life of the animal. Its life is to be honored, is sacred, as it were, to be dignified. So now, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, you can have all kinds of things, but you can do without a lot of things. We can put mechanical heart and mechanical brain and mechanical everything. Put them all in. But that's fine, but you can't do without blood. The life of your life is in your blood. Now, a second thing about it, when the blood is shed, it involves death. Someone has to die for all the blood to be spilt. The animal had to die. Its life was given by blood. Blood was shed, and the animal blood, was then taken to the altars, as you'll see. The blood, the life of the sacrifice, is going to go to another. Now hang on, chapter 16. The life of the body is in, life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, in the light of that, keeping in mind, and it covers, the atonement means to satisfy, to propitiate, to pay the penalty, to procure the effect, forgiveness. The offense is covered, and to be reconciled. Look over in verse 20, chapter 16. And when he hath made an end of reconciling, the verb you're looking at is the word atonement, only it's translated there, reconciling, to reconcile. What does atonement do? It takes what? It takes God's holy, righteous person and brings God's holy, righteous person able to connect to a sinner, to a human, in such a way that God's righteousness is answered and man's sinfulness is covered so that they can come together. Atonement. Atonement. God makes it happen. Thus it's translated, reconciled. Now, if you would, in the light of that, remember now, here's the priest, here's the priest coming in, and the priest is going to go and take the blood of a bullock, young bull, in verse 11, and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is before him. And again, without time's sake, verse 12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar from before the Lord, brazen altar, kill the animals, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten, small, very small, super fine powder, and bring it in within the veil. Verse 13, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he doesn't die. Now, without giving all the wonderful details of how that all goes, easy. Here's the tabernacle, and there's east. Out east, west, east. If you are coming from the east, you're going to find the brazen altar out there. Keep coming. You're going to find the laver, the laver covered where they wash their hands. And then you're going to hit the front of the tabernacle. And there's an opening. You're going to go through the curtain into the tabernacle proper. And you're going to hit the first section, which is the larger. And you're going to hit that. And as you come to the first section, and looking, here's the table of showbread and the altar of lampstand and table of showbread. And right in front of you is a big curtain, and in front of that curtain is the altar of incense, a golden altar covered with gold. And now, when they come, he's going to come in. Now, here's this big curtain. Now, how's he going to get in to the Holy of Holies? Once a year, that's what he's going to do, in order to pass the place that no one can go ever. Only the high priest, only once a year, under very given conditions. No one else can be in the temple in the tabernacle, at any time. Look at that, if you would. Verse 17, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement. So no one, all the other priests, no one's there. So he goes in. Now how's he going to get through the curtain? There is no cut, there is no door to get through the curtain. So he has to go around to the side. Here's the curtain. And here's the sides of the tent, and go by around, cut through the side. The only way to get in, side of the tent, and he goes in with a censer, the burning coals, and the handful of incense. And he steps around the curtain, dumps the incense into the fire, very fine powder, and all of it fumes up and smoldering, smoking, smoke. And it fills this little room where the Ark of the Covenant is and the mercy seat on top of it. So now, can you see well what you're doing? No, it's veiled, concealed, it's covered. Now he goes back in with the blood and he can't see, remember, very good, because this is all veiled over like a, not even a fog, but smoke, as it were. It's covering it. And he sprinkles the blood of the bullock on the mercy seat, on the horns, mercy seat, I should say, etc. Then he goes in again, verse 14, verse 15, he goes in again with the blood of the goat. And he goes in twice and does the same thing all over again with the blood. Now, with all the details there, that's so wonderful. He's going to go in, and then he comes out. He's all finished, make-believe, finished in it. And he makes an atonement, atonement for the people. He makes a covering, and it's all about, verse 16, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Remember the priests going in there every day, unclean. They're trusting God's saving grace to save them, to forgive them. And therefore, God, once a year, you make it clear to everybody on the Day of Atonement, a most solemn, serious day, everyone back down, cool it, don't even eat baby breakfast. It's a day of soberness. Wow. Now, of the children of Israel, verse 16, because of the transgressions in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So it's all about God providing everything that needs to be done, and all of it is done by the blood. Verse 18, and he shall go out from the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and that horn, here's the altar on the inside, brazen altars on the outside. People, Gentiles, tend to take the altar on the outside. Jews take the altar on the inside. And so, going out, they must have gone, did they go all the way out of the tent? Or did they just come around the edge, and here's the altar of incense standing in front of the curtain? And they put the blood. Now, having said that, little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to, we did sing, didn't we? I was trying to think. That's all right. What can I tell you? Now, over, please, in your, go with me, please, over to the Gospel of Matthew. Now, remember now, the Pharisees and the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Jews, the Gentiles, they publicly and officially would not accept Jesus Christ, and thus they're going to yell without ever looking there, you know all this, crucify him, crucify him, over and over again, all the people. Crucify him, crucify him. Well, we have no king but Caesar. Now, how could that happen? It did. And they rejected everything. Now, you got to have that in mind. Now, keep in mind also in the Day of Atonement, the priest, who can only go, high priest, can only go once a year, and he never gets a clear shot view of the ark in the mercy seat. He can never see it nice and clear. It's always veiled over with this incense, the smoke. You can't see good, but you can sprinkle the blood all right. You can do that. Now, having that in mind, go to the cross. And in the middle of the day, at noon, been on the cross, 9, 10, 11, at noon. Over, if you would, please. In Luke. Well, if you're in, Luke chapter 23. And in Luke 23, picking up, in verse 20. This is on Pontius Pilate. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. So that's just a reference. As you turn the pages, God gives you over and over again their thinking and their attitude, which was not positive, it was negative. They were rejecting the Lord. Now, over in the light of that, over to Matthew. Well, if you're in Luke, Matthew better. You know, I can go to one place. Matthew and chapter 15. Matthew and chapter 15. 27. Matthew chapter 27. Mark chapter 15. Matthew chapter 27 is where we're trying to go. Matthew chapter 27. Picking up, please, in thought, if I can, 27 and verse 22. Again, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they say unto him, let him be crucified. So we're going to keep saying that and doing that. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. 27:45. Now, from the sixth hour, noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried unto the Lord, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, here's the tabernacle and the incense. Here's the cross. The same sober, awesome event, the most stupendous event in all of creation. God judging himself in his Son in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. And God said, that is holy ground. Such an holy event. He covers it. He covers it. Can't we all go in and watch? No. You don't touch it. You don't touch it. It's sacred and awesomely wonderful. Now, and so having seen that just a little bit since we related that, and so now here's the darkness covering, shrouding the cross, as it were. And in the process of that, remember, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And Isaiah 5 and all that, 20, they are going to go, how are we going to handle the absence of light by calling Isaiah 5:20? We're going to call light darkness, and darkness we're going to call light. We're going to turn everything good, bad, turn everything right, wrong, turn everything upside down, so that we can handle it. And that's what the world has done. And in the name of darkness, we call it light, professing themselves, Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please, thinking of us humans, and think of our human condition. And our human condition, as you know, people are born, Adam and Eve, Romans 5:12. In Adam's sin, in Adam's fall, we all sin, and we all died in Adam. So when Christ died on the cross, what did he do? He went to die for the sin of the world, the sin of the world. Over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, you know it, I just want you to note a little word in it, though, that you may go right by. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up, if I may. May I go? This is describing, giving the understanding of the gospel, the good news. And the good news is in the person of Jesus Christ, and there is no other good news, no matter how much it says. It's the only legitimate good news. All the rest is bad news, deception. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if I can, in verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for on behalf of, little word, preface, on behalf of our sins. Why did you die? For our sins. The good news is about what? Dying for my sins. That's the good news. It isn't Jesus died. He died for our sins. Our. He is the sinless Son of God. He became sin for us who knew no sin so that we could know him. And thus, so here's our human condition. And all of us would readily, no matter how old you are almost, we would confess, no question, that in our human bodies, physically, we are recognizing that there is less than perfection in our human bodies. There is less than perfection in our mind. We worry, we want, we wander, we are discouraged, we get depressed, we get disappointed. We have a thousand, we fear, we are faulty, we fail. A thousand words, they're our words. They describe us humans. So we know we got a problem. We know we got it, but we aren't going to face it. The answer, God said, I know you got a problem. I came to fix it. And we all, and the world system back then and now is rejecting him straightway. They don't want. So how are we going to fix the problem? Which we know without question. We are in it. It's our condition. And we aren't going to be able to fix it. In fact, we don't fix it. All we do is bury people. That's what we do. We put them in a hospital, take pills and everything else, and bury them. And wait for the next one to bury them. That's all. And hope somehow, somewhere, something will be gooder, better, you see. And we do that. So now in the light of that, over if you would please. First Peter chapter 2. All kinds of ways to say it, and you like to put them together so you can get the thing very easily. But here's just a taste of it. First Peter and chapter 2. May I go directly to verse 24. Who his own self bare, our sins, there again, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. All we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in over and over again, he has been made sin for us. Over, we'll do that part. Over to first, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 5, let me put two things together that may help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if I can, in verse 21. Here, directly, in the light of the context. 4:21. For he hath made him, Christ, God made Christ, He made him. God did it. God, Lord, what did you say? I came not to do my own will in the garden, not by will, but what? Thy will be done. I didn't come for anything except to outwork the Father's will, which is to be the perfect solution for man's terrible, sinful condition. I came to do that. And thus, for God made him to be sin for us, on our behalf, who knew no sin, that, reason, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, we will have the righteousness of God, made the righteousness of God. He became sin for us. Now tie that together in your mind, directly, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but, verse 30, but of him, God did it. Are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made, there's your verb, like over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, is made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God, you have provided for us all that we don't have in and of ourselves in any way, shape, or form. God, you died for us. You died, you took the penalty of our sin, you took it to Calvary's cross so that we could know. How could we ever do business with you? The blood of Jesus Christ what? Covers. He shed his blood, the Lord's table. Remember my body, which is given for you. My body, a sinless Son of God, I went to the cross. Blood, the life in his blood. And he gave his life, second part, to die. He gave his life and he died. He died so that what? His covering can go to someone else. And he didn't do it for himself, and he didn't need to do it for himself because he had no sin. He did it for you and for me and for every human being on planet Earth. He did it. Wow. We're covered. If we, you know all those things. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, what? As he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Covering us from what? All our sin. What do we need to do in the Day of Atonement? Understand the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat is pointing to where are we going to find the mercy of God in the wonderful person, a holy God, in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, God's wonderful Son who died for us. Wow. Now, in closing, over if you would please, to Hebrews and chapter 10. Appreciate your patience. And I hope Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, if I may. Verse 18, all about the Christ's death on the cross. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering. In other words, once sin has been forgiven, once something has been forgiven, the debt paid, then you're all finished. Having therefore, verse 19, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now remember the veil, we didn't do that part, but if we did, looking at the veil on all these events, what happened in those hours? God, what did you do? I took the veil that has one. Remember, the veil was so strong, the Jewish testimony of history, it's so strong that if you put a team of horses on each side and pulled, they couldn't tear it. They couldn't rip it. And God, in one stroke, split the veil covering the Holy of Holies, right down the middle, and he opened it up. What did you just read? You have access to the most holy place of all, that the high priest could only go once a year, and then under very strict conditions. You have been given access as a believer before God, before Almighty God. You've been given access, a new and living way, which he hath consecrated us through his blood. That's why. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Wow. Awful hard to do this, you know. It's so awesome. The details are many. And we can't enter it. We only reap the benefit of it so that when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we're able to partake and do this in remembrance of me. That's all we can do. God, we can't get in there. We aren't fit to get in there. No, no. And we bow our head like the publican. Bow our head and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the word merciful is the word mercy seat. Do you understand? Which is covered with blood. Christ shed his blood so that you and I could be covered right now. It has nothing to do with anything about you. You couldn't provide the covering. You couldn't even dream up anything if you had all of the world in your possession. There's not one thing you can do to change and fix your heart. Only God can do that by the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. It's a gift. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy for whosoever that would believe. I think that's awesome. I wish I could. I sat all day trying to think about this for you, and I just couldn't do it. It's too big. God, it's too big. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and grace, and we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.